Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going deep on injection molding.
Oh, injection molding.
Yeah, but we're not, just talking about the basics. We're getting really specific today.
Right.
How to actually adjust injection pressure,
Yeah.
to make sure you get really great quality products.
Right.
So our source material today are some excerpts from an article called "What Key Factors Should You Consider When Adjusting Injection Pressure?" And get ready, because we're going to see injection molding in a whole new way today.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting about injection molding is it's such a delicate balance.
Oh,
You've got your design, you've got material properties, and then you've got the actual machine itself. And getting all those settings just right is the difference between a flawless product and, a costly mistake.
Oh, yeah. I'm already picturing like those infomercial fails.
Right? But wait, there's more. And then it's like a broken spatula or Yeah,
something.
exactly.
Okay, so let's break down like why injection pressure is so important in the first place.
Okay.
What is it doing there?
So imagine you've got this, molten plastic, and it needs to flow perfectly into every nook and cranny of a mold. Too little pressure, and you're left with gaps, inconsistencies, too much pressure, and you risk flash, warping, or even, damaging the mold itself. So it's about finding that sweet spot that,
Oh, yeah. It's like one of those old school pressure gauges. You
Yeah.
got to hit that green zone right in the middle.
Exactly.
Okay, so where do we even begin with like figuring out what the right pressure is?
Well, the first piece of the puzzle is the product design itself.
Okay.
For instance, wall thickness plays a critical role.
Wall thickness.
Yeah. Think of it like this. Thick walls, they give the plastic a leisurely stroll. Plenty of time to cool as it fills the mold. So lower injection pressure can do the trick.
Oh, so it's got time to kind of like settle in, cook
Exactly.
it. But thin walls, that's like when you get those little tiny straws in like a fancy cocktail, trying to get anything through there.
Yeah, exactly. Thin walls, they cool down much faster. So you need more pressure. You're racing against time to fill that mold before it solidifies. Otherwise, you end up with short shots. And they actually gave a really interesting example in this article. It was about a plastic shell. And they initially overlook the whole wall thickness thing. And what seemed like a very simple design turned into a production nightmare. Yeah.
Okay, so wall thickness, check. But what about the overall shape of the thing you're making? I would imagine that making, a simple cube is a lot easier than making something with a lot of detail.
You're absolutely right. Intricate designs with, deep holes, sharp corners, all those things increase resistance. Think of it like navigating a maze. The more twists and turns, the harder it is to get through. You'll need that higher pressure to overcome that resistance and ensure that you're filling even those hard-to-reach areas.
Okay, but isn't there a risk then of just like turning the pressure way up
There
to
is.
just make sure everything gets filled?
There is. And that's where material properties come in. It's not just about force. It's about how that material behaves under pressure.
Okay, so let's talk material science then. I remember like viscosity from school. Maybe we could use a little refresher on that.
So basically, viscosity is how easily a liquid flows. So high viscosity materials like polycarbonate are thick and resistant to flow, like trying to push honey through a straw almost. You need that extra oomph. Low viscosity materials, though, they're like water, much easier to push through.
Flows easily.
Exactly. So for high viscosity, you'll need to up that injection pressure. You might even need to preheat it. But for low viscosity, you can, keep the pressure a bit lower. But you can't just go by viscosity alone. Like some materials, for example, PVC, are very heat sensitive. Too much heat from high injection pressure can actually degrade the material.
So it's not just about grabbing a material and then just cranking up that pressure. It's about matching the material to the design and then finding that sweet spot of pressure.
Absolutely. And speaking of matching, the mold itself plays a huge role in pressure requirements.
The mold itself. Okay, tell me more.
Well, think of the mold like a network of channels
Okay.
and pathways. The design of that network, particularly something called the runner system, can make a huge difference.
Okay.
Efficient runner systems are like superhighways for the molten plastic. Smooth flow, minimal resistance, meaning you can achieve a perfect fill with lower pressure.
Okay, so you want it to be like, oh, I'm picturing those little tiny model cars they use to like, test traffic patterns and
All
stuff.
right.
You want nice, smooth flow, no pileups.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the runner system, but what else is there in the mold that affects the pressure?
So then there's the gate.
Gate.
Yeah, which is basically the entry point
Oh, okay.
for the plastic
Yeah.
into that mold cavity.
I see, okay.
Now, smaller gates, like pin gates,
Yeah.
create a bottleneck.
Okay.
They demand higher pressure to push that plastic through,
Right.
but larger gates, like side gates, offer less resistance.
Okay.
You can use lower pressure.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a trade-off there.
There is.
You want that smooth flow of a larger gate, but maybe not the, visual impact it can have on
Exactly.
the final product.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the gate. Anything else?
And then there's venting.
Oh, venting. Okay. I always notice like those tiny little holes
Yeah.
on like plastic parts.
Yeah, a lot of people overlook that.
What's actually going on there?
Venting is crucial
Okay.
because it lets trapped air escape
Oh,
as the mold fills up. If air gets trapped, it creates back pressure,
okay.
which prevents complete filling and can even cause defects.
Wow.
Think of it like trying to force water into a container that's already full of air.
Yeah, you need that escape route.
You need that escape route.
Okay.
Proper venting allows you to use lower injection pressure
Right.
because you're not fighting against that trapped air.
Okay, so it's not just about brute force. It's like creating this system where that pressure kind of works in harmony with the design, the material, even the air inside the mold.
Precisely. It's
Yeah.
about understanding the delicate interplay
Yeah.
of all these factors.
Well, this is already making me rethink everything I thought I knew about plastic.
Right.
But I'm curious, besides just avoiding like, infomercial fails, what are the real world
Oh,
benefits
that's a great question.
of like really getting that pressure right?
Yeah, and that's a question that we'll explore right after a quick break. So we were talking about like the benefits of really nailing that injection pressure.
Yeah. What are some of the real world like downsides of not getting it right?
Oh, there are so many, and they can be pretty costly.
Okay.
One of the biggest ones is like incomplete filling.
Oh, okay.
You end up with parts that are like missing sections or have voids.
Right,
They're
right.
just weak and unusable.
Yeah, you can't sell those.
Exactly. And then there's warping.
Warping, okay.
That's where the part cools unevenly and ends up like all distorted.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's a common one. And then, of course, there's flashing.
Flashing, what's that?
That's when you get excess plastic squeezing out of the mold, creating those little burrs or seam holes.
Oh, okay. So it's not just about how it looks then.
No, not at all.
It's about the actual strength of the part.
Yeah, incorrect pressure can totally compromise the entire strength of the part.
Wow.
And it's not always about too little pressure either.
Really?
Too much pressure can also be a problem.
Okay.
Like you can damage the mold itself or force the material into areas where it's not supposed to go.
Oh, wow.
And that creates all these like internal stresses that can weaken the part.
So it's like walking a tightrope.
It is.
One wrong step and the whole thing just goes off balance.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
So how do we actually take all this knowledge and put it into practice? Like, how do we make those smart decisions about injection pressure?
Well, it all starts with analyzing the design,
Okay.
right? Thick or thin walls, intricate features,
Yeah.
sharp corners.
Right.
Answering those questions is going to give you a starting point for your pressure calculations.
So it's like that plastic shell they were talking about in the article, right?
Exactly.
I didn't think about the thin walls and it caused all sorts of problems.
Exactly. And then you got to factor in those material properties.
Okay.
High viscosity or low viscosity. How does it react to heat and pressure? The whole thing with the PVC, remember?
Right. The heat sensitivity.
Exactly. You can't just crank up the pressure without risking the material breaking down.
It's like each material has its own little personality.
I love that.
You got to get to know it before you can really work with it.
Yeah, you got to understand its strengths and limitations
Yeah.
and then adapt your approach. And of course, don't forget about the mold itself.
Right.
The runner system, the gate type, the venting,
Yeah.
all those things come together to determine the pressure requirements.
Because it's not just about the pressure at one single point.
No.
Right. It's about how that pressure is moving through the whole system.
Exactly.
That's where those efficient runner systems come in, like those super highways.
Exactly. Optimizing that runner system can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Less pressure needed, more efficient overall. And remember those gate types we were talking about?
Right.
The size and the type can really impact things.
So it's like choosing the right tool for the job.
Yes.
You wouldn't use a hammer to screw in a light bulb.
Exactly. You need the right tool for the job, the right gate, the right runner
All
system,
right.
even the right vent design. All those choices make a difference.
between smooth sailing and a total headache.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the design, the material, and the mold.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we need to think about when we're fine-tuning that injection pressure?
There's one more thing.
Okay.
Crystallinity.
Crystallinity. That sounds like a geology term.
It might sound complicated, but it's actually pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It's all about how the molecules are arranged within the material.
Okay.
Imagine a box full of marbles.
Okay.
In a crystalline material, those marbles are all neatly organized.
Okay.
In a regular pattern. But in an amorphous material, they're all jumbled up.
So crystalline is organized, amorphous is chaos.
Exactly.
But how does that affect injection molding?
Well, the level of crystallinity affects the material's strength, its flexibility, even its melting point.
So if I'm making something sturdy like a phone case, I'd want a more crystalline material.
Right.
But something flexible like a water bottle would need something more amorphous.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. The cooling rate during injection molding can actually influence the degree of crystallinity.
Really?
Yeah. Faster cooling usually means lower crystallinity.
So by controlling how fast it cools, you can actually tweak the final properties of the part.
Precisely. It's not just about getting the plastic into the mold.
Right.
It's about managing how it transforms as it cools down and solidifies.
Some injection pressure and mold temperature, those are key players here.
Exactly. They let you control that cooling rate.
Yeah.
And that in turn affects the crystallinity and the final properties of the part.
It's like all these separate factors are all tangled up together.
They are.
Influencing each other, like conducting an orchestra.
I love that analogy.
You have to understand each instrument, how they work together.
It's about seeing the big picture.
Yeah.
Understanding how everything is connected to get that perfect result.
Speaking of the big picture, earlier we talked about those larger gates and the problems they can cause. Mm. Like visual imperfections on the final product. Are there any other trade-offs or challenges we should be aware of when we're messing with injection pressure?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
And definitely one worth exploring further. So before we took that little break, we were talking about those potential drawbacks of adjusting injection pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we've learned that you can't just crank it up and expect everything to be fine.
Exactly. There are definitely trade-offs and challenges to be aware of.
Okay. So like you said, those bigger gates can sometimes mess with the look of the final product.
Right.
What other issues should we be watching out for?
Well, one thing that's really important to remember is that just increasing the injection pressure isn't always the answer.
Okay.
It might seem like the obvious fix if you're not getting complete filling.
Yeah, more pressure, more filling, right.
But it's not that simple.
Yeah.
Sometimes cranking up the pressure can actually create new problems.
Really? But wouldn't higher pressure guarantee that the plastic reaches every little nook and cranny of the mold?
Not always. Let's say you have a really complex design.
Okay.
With different wall thicknesses.
Okay.
If you just increase the overall pressure, you might end up with some areas getting overpacked. While others are still underfilled.
So it's uneven then.
Exactly. You get uneven cooling, internal stresses, warping.
It's not just about the overall pressure then.
Right.
It's about how that pressure is distributed throughout the whole mold.
That's the key.
And I'm guessing some materials are just more finicky when it comes to pressure changes than others, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We talked about PVC before.
Right, the heat-sensitive one.
Exactly. Those kinds of materials need a much more gentle approach.
Yeah, you can't just blast them with pressure.
No, high injection pressure can cause all sorts of problems with those materials.
Mm-hmm.
Degradation, discoloration, even burning.
So there's no magic number for pressure then.
Yet.
It's all about finding that sweet spot for each material.
Exactly. Every material has its own ideal pressure range.
Where it's happy, yeah.
Exactly. And that's where experience comes in.
Okay.
Trial and error, knowing how to read the signs.
Like those cooking shows, right?
Yes.
A pinch of this, a dash of that.
It really is like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You need to develop a feel for the process, understand how the variables work together.
And then you can make those little adjustments to get just the right outcome.
Exactly.
So mastering injection pressure, it's not just science then, it's an art too.
It really is a blend of both.
You need that theoretical knowledge, but also that hands-on experience.
You got it.
A keen eye for detail and that willingness to keep learning, keep getting better.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And it's not just about ending up with a perfect product either, right?
It's about optimizing the whole process.
Making it more efficient, less expensive.
Exactly. Using the right amount of pressure helps reduce waste, saves energy, even makes your molds last longer.
So it's sustainable too.
Absolutely. It's about making things better in every sense of the word.
Wow. I have to say, this deep dive has totally changed how I think about plastic.
I'm glad to hear it. It really is a fascinating field.
It is, and I think it highlights something really important.
What's that?
Even in something as automated as injection molding,
right,
human ingenuity and expertise still matter so much.
They do. It's about understanding the science, mastering the techniques, and then using all that knowledge to create amazing products.
Products that actually make our lives better.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up here, what's like the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember about adjusting injection pressure?
I think it's this. Never underestimate the power of understanding.
Okay.
Really dig in, learn the principles, play around with the variables.
Get your hands dirty.
Exactly. The more you understand about this process, the better you'll be at creating truly great products.
And on that note, we'll leave you with a little challenge.
One challenge.
Yeah. Next time you're using something made of plastic, really look at it.
Okay.
Think about the design, the material, how it was made. Think about all that pressure and temperature and flow that went into creating that object.
I like it.
You might be surprised by what you notice.
And who knows? Maybe it'll spark a new idea.
Yeah. A solution to a problem.
Or even a whole new way of looking at the world around you.
Well said. Until next time, everyone, keep exploring, keep learning.
And keep pushing those boundaries.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.